all my enemies fall down and die. Will the Lord have done it?
Yes.
Every power fighting my destiny, die by fire. Will the Lord have done it?
Yes.
Let's now look at how the Lord will have reacted. Would the Lord have been pleased with him? The Lord would not have been pleased with him. Even though the Lord would have granted him everything, yet he would not have been pleased. That's why I'm tired of testimonies that don't exalt an aggressive faith in God. I am tired of testimonies that exalt only personal pleasure. I am tired of testimonies that say, as I began to sow that seed, praise God, doors began to open and money began to pour into my life. Brethren, that time, what did I give out? I gave out an old Toyota Corolla. Today, I'm driving a brand new Lexus 570. Praise the Lord. Who will sow the seed this morning? Anybody that sows a seed under such circumstances has failed the faith test. Why? Their response is selfish. Their response is, what will I get? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? What God is going for in our lives. I pray people will understand. God wants people that he can take their Corolla away. And they will be trekking on the road. Somebody will say, why are you trekking? He said, the Lord took my Corolla. Hallelujah. And he continues trekking. And he continues trekking. Why are you trekking? The Lord took my car. And he continues walking. He continues walking. Why are you trekking? And with so much joy. He said, if the Lord would take a car from me, it means it was not good for me to drive it. Hallelujah. And he continues trekking. God will say, this guy, his faith is genuine. It is precious. These are the people I can count on. They are the ones I stop in their homes on my way to Sodom and Gomorrah and discuss the destruction of the place. They are the ones that will say, Lord, wait. No. Why will you do that? And I say, you think it is wrong? Lord, there are righteous people there. Let us count. What if you find 50? Say, I will not destroy the place for 50. What about 20? For 10, I will not destroy. For 20, I won't destroy. What about 10? Abraham, you are stretching it, but I'll do it for 10. Because of you. Say, Lord, thank you very much. There are people that God said, no, I can't do anything if they don't accept me to do it. There are people that God will say, I want to destroy everybody. And they will stand. Everybody get behind me. He wants to destroy you. He can't pass through me. Get behind me. Lord, why do you want to destroy them? They have sinned against me. But you are a merciful God. The other day I asked for your name. You said, I am God, the merciful. Why do you now want to destroy them? Moses moved back. Lord, if you want to destroy them, destroy me first. And God, even though he wants to destroy people, we say, Moses, no problem. Hold on. David, we'll handle them another day. These are positions in life you walk yourself into by the genuineness of your faith. Listen, every adversity in life, your faith is being mined and is being purified. That's what I'm explaining. We're talking about the pursuit of God. Christians understand what to pursue. God is not a way of success, you know, by material success. No, that's not what he is. That's not what he is. We are not learning methods by which we will show that our God is able. He too can produce money. I was telling my wife today we were discussing. I said, you know what God is teaching us? Say, you guys just learn faith, learn righteousness. Then, learn what I call, many of the things we Christians learn. God says, just learn righteous habits. God does not accept that Christians should learn the principles of making money. He says a Christian should learn righteous habits. The Lord is not teaching principles of success. The Lord is teaching what? Righteous habits. Because sometimes those habits will help them lose money. It's still a righteous habit. They don't measure their progress financially by how much cash they have. They measure their progress financially by how genuine their faith is. Do you know why? Because with God, money is nothing. When a man's faith, when a woman's faith has been purified, they do like this. Money, come. It comes. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The Lord will come to the house and say, So, Uvoma, you said you needed how much? He said, to get that project executed, that would be like $3.5 billion. It's all right. By the end of next week, it will be here. He said, thank you, Lord. And it's not a big deal. It's not, oh, Lord, we worship you. You are faithful God. Hallelujah. It's $3.5 billion. God, waiting. Which kind of extra worship be that? What will we now do when you raise the dead? I don't know whether you get the point. Look, with the Lord, $3.5 billion is easier than raising the dead. I'm not saying, it's not that we are not worshiping. We worship. But it's normal. Lord, thank you. We knew you were going to do that. So I was teaching the children before you came. Can I go back to that? So kids, everybody say after me, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Faithfulness, righteousness, power in the Holy Ghost. That the Lord said he will bring $3.5 billion in a week. It doesn't move you. And the same way, one day he will bring $3.5 billion. Say, you need it now. Say, Lord, I can't invest this year. What do I do? There's some people who need money. And you give out everything and go to zero and you are not moved. Why? They are material things. They literally are grass. There's nothing in it. Why? Faith has been tested. Faith has been purified. Those are people that will sit in their homes and say, Lord, I heard the government wants to do this. I saw the minister on television say it. You made me tune in at that time. I have reasoned it is not right. The Lord won't tell you what he thinks or what he doesn't think. He just says, you say it's not right. Yes, that's why I planted you in this nation, to decree what is right and what is not right. Inside the bedroom, he will say to the Lord, that guy can't do it. The Lord will say, he's obstinate, he's determined to do it. And you say, Lord, I am sorry. Then I have to request you remove him. And there will be 1,000 people who are shakalagaba for the guy. He will remain in office till Jesus comes back. Why? He's paying tithes. He's a minister, he's a member of their church. One man somewhere about to step into the bathroom will say, Lord, it is not right. You say he's obstinate, he won't change his mind. In that case, Lord, I'm sorry, remove him. With all the prayer, 1,000 Christians are praying. One man says, remove him. And by the next day, the president decides that this guy, I don't like the color of his tie. He came to my office this morning wearing a red tie. You should have known I don't like red. Look, listen. Let me tell you the truth. God is looking for people. And I found out that people are so difficult for him to find. Do you know in Nigeria of today, one of the most difficult things to find is a prophet? Ooh. Forget all these jokers who are always predicting January. Did they do this year? I think they don't learn. Donald Trump has taught them a lesson. Yes, they didn't predict again. When you see a woman in the White House and a man goes there, you know you will change your mind. You won't talk again. Even true preachers started that rubbish. And this interesting part, they never see anything of note. Prophecy is supposed to help us repent or prepare for something. That is, economy tank, they did not warn us. They were predicting, good Lord Jonathan is coming back. They forgot to tell us to wear. The man went back to the talking. And God said, I did not speak to them, they ran. Just watch me. He said, don't say thus is the Lord if you didn't say. He said, it will make you a liar. The Lord turned all the prophets in Nigeria to liars. It pained me to become a Christian. People yapped me also, because some of my old classmates, when the prophet misbehaves, the bank, did you hear that? As if I'm the one that said it. The Lord is good. Now I'm going to say, you know, it's so difficult for God to get genuine prophets. So difficult. Do you know why? Most prophets, their hearts are polluted, defiled. When virtually, I didn't hear one credible prophet that told me, good Lord, Jonathan will lose that election. The simple reason was because every prophet was a Christian and Buhari was a Muslim. That's it. For that reason, they couldn't see anything correctly. If they want to see his vision, they will shake their head and say, God, are you making a mistake there? The Spirit will now show them a photo of Jonathan and say, yes, correct. I'm going somewhere. You know, God is lacking. Oh, God, I pray you get my point. God is lacking people. And I'm preaching this season to tell everybody listening to me, please, God needs people. When I say he needs people, he said many are called, few are chosen. Amongst those who are chosen, few are faithful. Yeah, that's the way it goes. He said the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Those are people that ride with him. People are not faithful. It's so hard for God to get somebody. Do you know, at the point in time, he shouted, who shall we send? He said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah looked to the left, looked to the right. He didn't hear anybody's voice, so he shouted, here I am, send me. I am convinced, sometimes God will come to Enugu and blow trumpet. Who shall we send? Who shall go for us? And they will say, God, how much are you paying? I'm not joking. They want to know how much he's paid. He said, Lord, you know, where I'm right now, I know how much I'm making. How much are you going to pay? And the Lord does not answer. All he said, who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And they're asking, how much do you pay? And he does not answer. Because God does not negotiate. He calls. If you like, you answer. If you like, you don't answer. And like I've said before, that's earlier today. Abraham left all of the Chaldeans, or all of Chaldee, whatever. And this is the point. Listen to it carefully. He left a civilization he never saw again. He lived in tents. The Bible made it clear. It was that he was looking for a city. The one he was looking for was not on this earth. He kept his eyes high above. He lived in tents. The tents were never as good as where he came from. It's a sacrifice. David Paulson described the sacrifice of Jesus so that you and I will be reconciled to God. Some of us think it's a leave. I mean, like, he went on leave. After he did the sacrifice, he now went back to what he used to be. Paulson said, no, it's not like that too. That now he ever lived to make intercession. That the Jesus that resurrected was not the same Jesus that came down. That there were permanent sacrifices he made to make you and I what we are today. It wasn't like, yes, he's done, so it's back to, everything's back to the way he used to be. So as if net, he didn't really lose anything. That no, he lost, in quotes, and invested something in you and in me, eternally. But we want to walk with God like it's an investment. God, when I give to you, you will multiply it. I will now eat better. And we think we are walking as believers. My teaching today is let's get real. Let's make up our minds. Christianity means that, I mean, one day I was listening to Ravi Zacharias teach when, I think it was Vietnam. Is it Vietnam or Cambodia? One of those countries that these men were preaching when the communists invaded. Everybody was running and moving away, running away. And a helicopter arrived to evacuate the missionaries, the Christians who were there. And this man packed his wife and his children and put them in the helicopter. And he said, what about you? Are you not coming? He said, no. The communists are going to kill you. He said, let me see whether I can save at least one of them. 1 hour later, they had drowned him. He didn't save anybody. I don't know whether I get my point. He put his wife and children in the helicopter and waved them bye-bye. And he said, are you not coming? He said, no. But the communists are coming. You know what they are going to do? He said, wait. Let's just see whether at least one of them will hear the gospel and believe. Listen, you know what we find these days? Christians can't even... they can't take a little bit of hardship. Power doesn't come, they are whining and grumbling like everybody else. And sit down and complain about the head of state, about the country, just like every other unbeliever. They talk like people without purpose in their lives. Listen, there's a particular message I wanted to tell Israel. Israel, that the one I preached in Marcus the last Sunday. Please, I want all of you to listen to it. I titled it How Change Comes, something like that. The Coming of Change. So that's one. The last one I said, the church, God's change agent. One of the things I explained in that message, we must understand what God is doing. This will help me learn what I'm going to explain. Sometimes you hear pastors say, Christians, go into politics, go into politics. I talked about it in that message. Please listen to it. Please try. Get a copy. All right? Just before you go. He said, Christians, go into politics, go into politics. And you know the way we talk as believers, as church, as pastors? What we mean is that we need a voting block. That thing is so ungodly. Can needs to come together and support a candidate. That is iniquity. In my little life, I have seen Christians support candidates, and all those candidates have disappointed them. I have never seen one that stood for them. And it's God that made it like that too. Because God says, you will have to learn to trust only in me. You will not trust in anybody else. You will trust in me alone. But this is the point I want to make. So when Christians, pastors say sometimes, say Christians enter into office, form a voting block and all of that. God said, no. I don't want that. Do I want my people in politics? Yes. Should Christians be in politics? Yes. 100%. So they will defend Christian interest? No. That's not the idea. Why should they go into politics? Number one, let them go and sanitize politics. Their presence is the way by which I sanitize politics. They will teach the rest of the earth how to be politicians. They will go there with megaphone and start campaigning? No. They will just go there, stand straight, and be righteous in their dealings. And this is the point I'm trying to make. They will lose a lot of elections for their righteousness' sake. That's why I brought that one up. They will lose elections for their righteousness' sake. But God said, if they bend the rules of righteousness so as to win an election, they will have failed me thoroughly. I will prefer that they failed in the election, but pass the test of faith. I will succeed better in their lives and in the environment if they do that. That is, no matter the odds that are against them, they will not bend one rule of righteousness to gain anything. Even if they see, like, look, we have to win this, otherwise we'll have a serious threat against us as Christians. God says, no, you will not use unrighteousness to get results. Some who don't understand, we say, these people, they won't play by the rules. That is, they won't play ball. That's why they are not winning. God says, that is the point I want to make. It's called the trial of their faith. Look at what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1. In that verse 3 we're reading, from that verse 3 down to verse 6. In verse 6 he said, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, that gold is still perishable, that the proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me stop here. I want to bring up something for you here. He said, if necessary, for a period you are distressed by various trials. It means that you will go into business as a businessman. You know, David said that you will swear to your heart and not change. That is called being distressed for a period because of your faith. It's called swearing to your heart and not changing. No, by the time we entered that agreement, dollar was 180. But by now it's 250. The question is, whose fault is it? Is it his fault? Next time, as a businessman, you know how to do your arrangement ahead. But once you've entered into an agreement, it's called swearing to your heart. The Bible says if you want to enter into God's holy hill, you can't change your mind. Listen, being a believer distresses your faith. That's the point I'm making. Once in a while, faith puts you in distress. It puts you in distress. If you hire staff, your company is not making money. Listen to me, they must get their salary. They are not your investors, they are your staff. He said, where will I get money? Why are you driving an expensive car? Sell the car, my friend. Pay them for 2 months and lay them off. And I will see you in Keke one day. Oga, you the right Keke? We thank the Lord. Cold and heat shall not cease. This is cold season. Yeah, that's how life is. You know, I've told you before, when Christians said they are walking by faith, they want to take vow. You want to marry. Somebody says it's for better, for best. That is a satanic vow. Americans they've twisted that vow. From today we shall be one. Why are you afraid to say till death us do part? Or till death do us part? No, the first one is correct English. Till death do us part is modernized English. You didn't know the Queen. We need the Queen. Queen's English. Why are they afraid? Why? Because in their society, divorce every day. So they rewrote new marriage vows. After the pastor giving out the vow, probably is divorced. Say, I hereby submit to you, and from today we shall be one. I say, get white. He said, check the old parts wherein the fathers walked. Walk in them. You will find rest for your soul. How did the fathers used to do it? The old fathers. They said, how does it go again? For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. Till death us do part. People are afraid of that too. And I've seen churches that preach it. They teach to their leaders. If sickness is too bad, you divorce. I am not joking. My friend he said, Banky, that day I told them this must be a joke. He said, I got up. I said, excuse me, sir. I will not preach. Is this ministry not about healing? Are we not preaching a healing Jesus? And they explained, and I don't want to give details, what they explained to him that day, and they finally said the kind of thing that makes me want to punch somebody in the nose. He said, you are talking like this because it has not happened to you. What happened to me got to do what we're talking about? That's a side one. Life actually gets warmer and it gets colder. So when they ask you, sir, why are you inside the keke? He said, no condition is permanent. I will not be here tomorrow. Amen. Leave it like that. But let it be that people that worked for you will always say, that man always paid on time. They won't know the sacrifice you make to make sure you pay on time. They won't know it. But God says, these are the people. Look, listen, like I was saying to you, that's what God is mining. Is that faith is mining? Is that faith is refining? He's not trying to get money into your hands. Forget his principles of success. Learn principles of godliness. Learn principles of righteous living. Success is a gift of God. If you want it, you kneel down and say, God, give it to me. How did Jabez get it? He didn't go to a business school. He just said, Lord, enlarge my coast. Oh God, I pray we walk with God to a level. Do you know? When God has purified your faith to a level, you can get up one day. Maybe you're just watching TV. And they say Dangote builds a refinery for $16 billion. You have not even done business more than $10 million. You just look. Suddenly something kindles inside you. Lord, is the only one of such we need? And the Lord says, no, you don't need another one right now in your country. You say, okay, what if I build another liquefied natural gas plant. Nigeria has one in Bonide, Nigeria LNG. Lord, I would like to build another liquefied natural gas plant valued at $15 billion. Let's start with that. Whether the law agrees with it or not, you just pray that prayer. Let me tell you how God does things. Have you ever played chess or draft? You know the way you move pieces on the board? That's how God moves prosperity around with his hands. Just take this one, move it here. That's, and he's a master player. He moves this one there. He will just say, okay, that's the way. Is that what you want? Say, Lord, yes, that would be nice. I'll be able to do many things I want to do in this nation and beyond. He knows that with you is nothing. It won't kill you. It won't make your head bigger than normal. You're going to continue to be a normal Christian man, woman that you have always been. Listen, he will start moving it. It may take 10 years for many reasons. But at the end of 15, 18 years, the first private LNG plant in Nigeria will have been built and you will own 75% of it. Not because you had experience in petroleum or gas, but because you knelt down beside a shore one day and said, Lord, a man just built $16 billion refinery. Is that all we need in this country? And the Lord said, that's good enough. The other ones, I've had them, they are refurbishing those other ones. Say, Lord, I like something like that. Say, like what? Then an angel just tickles you beside, oh boy, oh girl, asking for an LNG plant. Say, Lord, I would like an LNG plant. He said, the laws in the country right now may not favor it, but you rewrite the laws and I want an LNG plant. He'll just say to you simply, it is done. When he gave Solomon wealth, he told Solomon, listen to this. Nobody before you have seen this kind of wealth, and nobody after you will see it. Let me explain how prosper. Okay, I pray Christian. You know, the world history is not well documented. The Bible has a summary. Let me explain one answer to you. Israel under Solomon was so prosperous that the thieves didn't have time to steal silver. I told you something. The temple of Solomon may have looked grand to you. By the time Solomon built it, his house was almost as fine. And go and check it. The houses of his ministers were like that. The land was so prosperous. How did Solomon become rich? He would just sit at home. Kings would just come and greet him and they would bring money. He would just sit at home. They would just come. Wait on, sir. Here are two sacks of gold. For the amount of wisdom we have heard today, we can't go home like this. And why do men come listen to Solomon's wisdom? It was not just to hear, hey, may see wisdom, the guy they rhyme. No. Listen, Solomon's wisdom was solving problems. There will be plagues that will break out in countries. They will run down to Israel. My Lord, money, sir. 15,000 are dead in just 3 weeks. He will say, what happened? They will tell him. The man will meditate. And suddenly will say, damn that river, divert it. They will look. What did you say? Whatever is killing them is flowing down the stream. Divert that river. Do you have engineers that can do it? You don't. He will call his engineers. Go there. He will end the plague for them with wisdom. That was why many of these things were not written down. They were practical things they used on a daily basis. They were not like wisdom to write down. That's why, one of them was given to us in the Bible. Two women quarreled over who owned the child. They did not have genetic testing. Solomon said, all right, I have my way of doing genetic testing. Kill the boy. I will examine the inside. I will know whose inside it looks like. You know the rest of the story. That was the beginning of his wisdom. It was a little boy. 10 years after, he has so much experience. People traveled to solve economic problems by listening to Solomon. Don't forget, Joseph was one of the ancestors. The same kind of wisdom that Joseph operated in Egypt. What am I going to say? When God wants to move wealth your way, it's not because you know the principles of success. is because you knelt down foolishly one day. And I emphasize foolishly, because faith can appear foolish. You knelt down foolishly one day, you just ask God for something crazy. But that's after he had tested the genuineness of your faith. That's what I'm talking about. He's bringing people to a level. They've gone through trials. They've gone through affliction. He has taken their money from them and given them nothing in return, and they haven't complained. Listen, all these investing Christians, God doesn't listen to them. Then they're giving 10,000 naira, they are queuing up. Say, God, how far now? You're not ruining this season for heaven. They gave him ordinary 10,000 naira offering. Angels won't rest again. My seed is producing. God, just look at one angel. Give me 1,000,000. The angel will say, here's him. Give him. Now drive him from there. Oh, hallelujah. It works. I said, get away, my friend. Go. Let's talk to serious people. We are proving the genuineness of your faith. You are doing kalokalo business with me. We are looking for people we can use. People we can put on the earth and say, you decide the things going on the earth. People that can sit in their homes and decide governmental policies. You are sowing seed for me. We are looking for people that can kneel down and like Jabez and say, Lord, enlarge my coast. And I make Bill Gates visit them. Listen. Well, look, Christianity, no be joke. Like I said, let's get ready to walk with him. In every situation, God is mining our faith and purifying our faith. Respond to things in life. I told a story again here. Lotono. R.G. Lotono, who? Listen. He went into business with a Christian brother in his church because they are both Christians. And the man was such an unsettled person. The business was not doing well. Aji Lotono said to him, listen, I use my relatives, because Lotono used to use his relatives. These are disciplined people. I use my relatives to work for me because when I have problems, they feel my pain. The man said, no, it is because of them that business is not doing well. So Aji Lotono had to pull out his cousins, his brothers, his in-laws that were working with him and took them to another business. And they hired other staff. That business didn't do well. They managed to break even, no profit. The other business he carried, because they were contractors, so he got another contract somewhere and took those his relatives, said, go and work on that one. This man doesn't want you on this job. But that one, God blessed the other job. The man made money. This guy was a member of his church. The man came to him and said, I heard you made money on the other business. Aji Lotono said, yes, I did. He said, you know you took our staff to do that work. He said, which staff are you talking about? We were on one job. You withdrew our staff to do another job. I deserve part of that profit. Aji Lotono looked like you must be out of your mind. You deserve part of my feast if you don't look my front. I'm adding my own words to it now. The man said, you give me the money, otherwise I sue you. Aji Lotono looked at him and said, sue me. I see you in court. He was so angry. As he turned to leave, there are times, there are things that Satan can't say to you. Even your mind can't say it. Only the Holy Spirit has that kind of boldness. If we not even send an angel to say it, because you will remind the angel that in the hierarchy of heaven, you are senior. It takes the Holy Spirit to utter some words. The Holy Spirit said to him, give him the money. The man checked, saying, whatever is inside me, get behind me. The voice was strong. He knew it had to be the God of heaven. He said, give him the money. This is money that the guy does not even know how much. Assuming the total profit for doses was $10,000, he could tell the man it was $2,000. So he showed the man the total profit is $10,000. How much of it do you want? That man said, I want half. He wrote him a check for half. I won't tell you what he gained or lost. Let's leave it there. The man obeyed God. That's why I want to end it. The man obeyed. What I will just tell you is that it's not every money you collect. When they tell you, take it, it's between you and God. Say, I don't want it again. I don't chop. Because that guy, he was out of business permanently within 24 months. God ruined him and closed him up completely. The other one that obeyed kept on waxing stronger and stronger and stronger. By the time World War II broke out, he manufactured, I think, half of America's tanks. I don't know. Half of the military hardware they used in World War II, America used, he manufactured. I hope you're getting my point here. But the point I'm making is that the genuineness of faith, the money he lost that day, you know, there are things that I know God has helped me now, if I'm the one. I won't, Holy Spirit, I know they obey that kind of thing. You know. I go to pray because obedience that will cause confusion later is not good. I go and pray, Father, Egabosh, Ela, you said obey. Okay, let's do like this. Obedience, by the time the check goes out, I won't know. It's from the place of prayer I will sign that check. Father, Egabosh, because if I open my eyes, I will shoot somebody. But I'm talking about what? Genuineness of faith. Working with God is a sacrifice. Take a country like ours. People have tried to tell me everything. Let me later I'll talk about it. Faith is a fight. What did I say?
Faith is a fight.
What did I say?
Faith is a fight.
Listen, you have to fight for faith. And you have to fight with faith. What I mean is this. When you believe something, fight. When you want to fight, use what you believe. That's what I mean. In our country of today, let me give an example. You're a single man. Ungodly pastors have divided the body of Christ into tribes and nations. Ungodly friends have joined your pastor. They say don't marry across tribal boundaries. If anything comes along your line, it looks like you want to do that. Everything they say to you against that, everything they say in trying to break the body of Christ, no matter how real and tangible, my brother, my sister, fight. You know you want to marry a lady from here? Hey, let me show you something. This brother, that's how he did not listen like you. That was, when was that? 5 years ago. 2 years ago, they are divorced now. That girl, not the hear word. She not the hear. We talked to him that I didn't hear. Listen, by the time they give you 5 stories, this is interesting, but they show the picture of those 4 women. 4 of them look like the girl you want to marry. But the only thing they have told you is that she's from this area. Don't marry from there. They have not quoted one scripture. They don't know her. They are judging her after the flesh. You know what you do as a believer? I am telling you what will not allow your business to collapse. I'm telling you how to prevent your ministry from disintegrating when you're supposed to be hitting your peak. Because many people will reap later the seeds of the fruit they sowed when they are forgotten. I am warning you, there are things you don't do. Otherwise, the day God will hold you to account, there's what the Bible calls the day of the Lord Jesus. Go and read your Bible well. The day of the Lord Jesus is the day of judgment. The day of the Lord Jesus is the day of reckoning. The day of the Lord Jesus is the day he calls people to account. It's not the day of salvation. It's only the day of salvation for those who have held on to his word, who have endured with him. For everybody else, it's a day of terror. That day is coming. This is what will keep you safe for that day. You will take the scriptures, like this fight. If any man is in Christ, that also includes woman, you know. He said, henceforth we know no man or woman after the flesh. If anyone is in Christ, the person is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Henceforth, I know no man, no woman after the flesh. You keep on declaring it. There is one body, one Lord. You keep on declaring it. Listen to me. That is what will save your life. I told you Christians have they've told me that God did not appoint our head of state. I said, which scripture says that God ignored Nigeria when he began to choose heads of states? 2.7 million votes. Hillary Clinton got more than Donald Trump. As at today, Donald Trump has been head of state now for 24 hours. In the United States. Hillary Clinton only came for the swearing in and for the dinner. And Donald Trump said, we have Secretary Clinton and President Clinton. Oh, these people, I respect them so much, I collected their seats. All he said was that he has great respect for them. He is president today. 2.7 million votes less than Hillary Clinton did he get. But God in heaven, who rules in the affairs of man, he wrote the electoral law long ago so that he led her by so many electoral votes that they needed to overturn results in at least three states for her to win. Sadhu Salvaraj said, by August, he said he had seen a vision. And the Lord says, look at the next POTUS. You know what they call POTUS? President of the United States. And he saw Donald Trump approach. You need to be a prophet to say some things. Because at that time, the man was at the bottom when it came to the polls against Hillary Clinton. God rules in the affairs of man. No? And that same God said, when I appoint a leader for you, you pray for him. That's why till now, I quarrel with Christians. General Muhammadu Buhari is our president in Nigeria of today. It's a fight of faith. I tell people, say, they say, he's an Islamic. I say, no, in the name of Jesus, he cannot be. They don't know where I'm talking from. They think I'm talking from information. I'm not talking from information. I'm talking from faith of the word of God that says this is scripture. Okay, scripture. The reference says scripture is that which is written. Okay? But the word of God may not be written. Okay? So this is the word of God. It's not scripture. This is Banky's country and Islamists will not rule it. That's the word of God. So I quote it all the time. I say he means well. They say no. He wants to Islamize. I say he cannot have that kind of idea. Why? I said so. It's a fight of faith. He said, look how they are killing people here. They were killing the same people under Jonathan. So that can now listen to me. Go and read the story of Zemani Lekwot. I was in university when Zemani Lekwot was on trial. In case you don't know, I left university 25 years ago. The same Southern Kaduna crisis. No, be today. Is it good? No. Is it Buhari? It's not. His presence emboldened them. How is that his problem? Did Jonathan's presence not embolden you that time? I am talking about the fight of faith. I fight to maintain. Oh God, I was listening to Derek Prince. He said to maintain your confession is war. It's not the experience. So to just maintain the confession. Kaleba, that is the war. Faith is a fight. My wife said one day, she sat down at home. I have done one of those my bad things. She thinks they are bad. I mean, I've always been a righteous man. Are you getting my point? She said that day, thoughts just going through her mind, telling her all the bad things that I like to do. Then suddenly, she got up and said, it's a lie. My husband is good. My husband is good to me. He's a man of God. He loves me. Said she began to confess the word. She said, Satan, excuse me, I beg. Don't ruin my life. Jealousy. Because you don't have a husband like my own. Faith is a fight. The spirits that want to accuse my wife against me, I know where they stay in my house. I know where they are. I don't know why. I've tried to cast them away from there. They don't go away. I know where they are. It's near the tap in the bathroom. Once you enter that bathtub, they say, welcome, Pastor. I have tried to cast them out. They know they're here. You know why they know they're here? God said, I won't let them go away. It's called a thorn in your flesh. No, because sometimes you want to go and bathe, you enter the bathtub, you now remember, say, look at the way this woman talked to me this morning. Your water go cold. That's not where I'm going, no. Where I'm going is that, you know why God doesn't drive them away? He said, you know how to fight the fight of faith. I have found one word, one line that works. You know what that line is? This one is scripture, not just the word of God. It's both the word of God and scripture. I love my wife as Christ loves the church. It silences every demon. And why I like that word is that it has no meaning. What I mean by meaning, you don't have to explain it. It doesn't need explaining. She look at your wife, just talk to you rudely like this. Can you imagine? She talked to me rudely. This is what I'm going to do. I love my wife as Christ loved the church. I said, man, you shouldn't take nonsense. It's true. A man will not take nonsense. He takes only the word of God. I love my wife as Christ loves the church. Please don't. You're not supposed to be, you know, dissecting the word of God. It's the word that dissects your heart. Are you getting my point? You just take the word and do what? Utter it, swallow it. But what am I emphasizing is fight. People are going to let you know the value of the dollar. I have set my mind on dollar that's 10,000 naira to the dollar. I'm not saying to get there, but that's the amount of peace. If it's 10,000 today, I will have peace. So at 450, 495, 510, should I have trouble? It's a scripture, Psalm 75. Not from the east, nor from the west comes exaltation. God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. My name is Daniel. It means God my judge. It means that I am the one God is lifting up. Listen to me. It is what? Fight. It's fight. It's fight. Let me end my message here. What is God doing? He's mining and purifying, refining our faith. That is the most important thing he's doing. Even if you lose money, don't lose faith. Turn to your neighbor. Say, even if you lose money, even if you lose a relationship, even if you lose a job, don't lose faith. That is a valuable thing. These two guys, some girls doing a bad thing. Yes, these two guys. You know how I know? I said, even if relationship, they look at each other and say, now, wow. They look at each other one kind. Don't worry, this year it is over. The Lord is good. Let's bow our heads and give the Lord. I say, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for faith that is pure. Thank you for faith that is pure. Thank you for faith that is pure. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks for faith that is pure. Dedicate yourself again to the purity of faith.